Have you ever wondered how someone you admire became successful in their professional life, but also in their personal life? What does it take to become not only an outstanding leader, but an outstanding person? Welcome to Leaders Unplugged, a show that explores professional and personal leadership through conversations with leaders, regardless of where they are in their career. I'm Nicole Boivin. Lisa DeMarco is considered a world-leading climate change lawyer. She advises on United Nations negotiations and represents several governments and leading energy companies. Lisa is a member of the board of directors of the Advanced Energy Center at MARS and Ontario Power Generation. She is a senior partner at DeMarco Allen. We met Lisa in her office located in Yorkville in Toronto, and I asked her how she got to where she is today. And this is what she told me. How did you get here?
Oh my goodness. By accident is the true story.
I'm sure there's more strategy to it.
Oh, you know, right place, right time, some of it. And some good elbow grease, I think, as well. So, no, quite literally by accident. I was a scientist.
You were?
I was.
So now you've got your own practice? As a lawyer specializing in climate change, renewables.
Climate and clean energy.
Climate and clean energy.
Do a little bit of First Nations work and a little bit of international trade. And the point where all those areas intersect is our sweet spot. We really like that space a lot.
Okay, we'll come back to that. But how did you go from being a scientist to this?
Yeah, I'm only partially kidding when I say by accident. I was in a lab and working on a proposal, and I had a scholarship of funding, and someone asked me to change some results and threatened my funding if I didn't. And so I got really mad, and 2 days later, ended up applying to write the LSAT, and 2 months or 4 months later, ended up in law school. So
okay,
it was a strange process.
Yes.
I went specifically to law school to become an environmental lawyer, and then got really interested in the energy space, and that seemed to stick. Energy and climate change seemed to really stick.
So what did you do after law school?
I did a graduate degree. Also, what was kind of with mm-hmm. undergrad and graduate degree in law in international environmental law, predominantly mm-hmm. climate change. And then I went to work for the Attorney General, seconded to the Ministry of Environment and Energy, as it then was.
As at the time.
Yeah. And they were doing this crazy thing, looking at competition in the energy industry, which, yeah, resulted in the Energy Competition Act. And I ended up knowing a little bit about this emissions trading thing that was going on in the U.S. And as a baby lawyer, first-year lawyer, that became my file. And, well, I had a baby during that time, too.
Oh, of course you did.
While I was articling. That was, standard process.
Right? Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Because all articling students should be pregnant and throwing up during their articles. And, got really good at throwing up in a plastic bag in court. And
oh, my gosh.
It's true. And, and so the policy file became mine and just really enjoyed it, really ran with it. And the director, a man named Jack Johnson, was fabulous. Just totally empowering. You can do it. I wouldn't put you in a position that I didn't have confidence you could complete. And so we were literally briefing premier and committees of cabinet in first and second year of law. And I feel very charmed for having had that experience and for having had people around me who had confidence in a very junior lawyer. So
you decided to strike on your own, and you've been at that for how long now?
Three and a bit years at this point.
And how's it going? I mean, I'm looking around this office, and there's files and boxes of documents. I mean, if I judge by this, you're busy.
We're busy. We're very busy. My mother would be rolling over in her grave right now, seeing the state of affairs in here. But we're busy. It's a good collection of clients. It's a good collection of cases. And it's worked out well. I'm pretty happy.
Not only are you working full-time in your practice, but you're also contributing to the industry in many forms. You also have a family life, two children.
Two big kids now.
Two big kids. Yeah. How old?
Soon to be 18 and soon to be 22.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're both spring kids, so... Yeah, and I call myself the Olympic mom, right? Because it's every 4 years when it's Winter Olympics year, they graduate. So I have one graduating from university and one graduating from high school, and all the applications that are due at the same time. So that's been pretty fun. One's applying to graduate school and the other one's applying to universities. And yeah, my daughter and my son.
So you'll be an empty nester?
Kind of. My significant other has a 10-year-old who spends time with us from time to time, so that's...
And there's a dog in there somewhere.
Two dogs.
Okay, so it can be...
One rescue guy, and a golden retriever.
So how was it being a mom and having the kind of career you've had?
Yeah, it wasn't easy, I'll tell you that much, but... I wouldn't trade it for the world. I did.
And you did it alone for a lot of it, did you not?
A chunk, a very significant chunk. And alone is a relative term for me. I have to really acknowledge I had great help from a nanny who is so much more than a nanny. I call her my wife. She's from the Czech Republic. She's got an MBA and a pilot's license, and she's always been the adult in the house. She really has. So she, you know, helped navigate very challenging divorce situations, and she's just a voice of brilliance and reason.
Does she live with you?
She did for many years. Okay. She hasn't for the last many. She's got her own house and a partner here.
And you're all grown up now.
We're all grown up now, and now she's my office manager.
How cool is that?
She's fantastic. Well, you know, office manager with an MBA.
How cool is that?
Yeah, yeah. So we've been together, I guess, going on 15 years.
So you've been well surrounded.
I have had a support network of sisters, of brothers, and fantastic nanny. Some assistants over the years who are much, much more than assistants, who are... you know, keep Lisa in line and be my external organizational skills when I have none internally.
Mm-hmm.
I've been very, very fortunate. It has taken a village to raise my children. We're very, very close, both kids and I, and they traveled with me quite often, but it has definitely been a team effort.
Hmm.
Yeah. I'm sure you can relate.
Yes, I can.
Yeah.
Yes, I can. And you're right. The support is so incredibly needed.
Oh, yeah.
When you're on the fast track.
Yeah. I didn't know I was on the fast track. It was an accident.
You kind of just go because the opportunities are there. But you have to have the courage to go and take the opportunities.
You know, we have this debate internally. Was it blind ignorance or courage? One of the two. It was something.
No, maybe a little bit of both.
I think you're right, because had I known that it wasn't normal to article pregnant, had I known that, you know, much of this stuff, you don't move when you're 9 months pregnant either, you know, these are the things that you sometimes a little knowledge can be a dangerous thing.
Because you wouldn't do it.
Blind ignorance is yeah.
You talked about some systemic issues that both men and women need to address. Give me an example.
I think the network issue in terms of, you know, who you go to lunch with. Is it the guy next door or is it the people next door? I think certainly I would be completely remiss and full of it if I didn't acknowledge that there's a sexism and some hashtag Me Too issues, particularly in the mining and energy industry. And, you know, if I can be blunt, I'm a little worried about female colleagues not developing that resilience, not having the palate or repertoire to politely or not so politely tell someone where to go and set a very clear line, as opposed to going into a track where it's not discussed.
Have you ever had to deal with a situation like that?
Oh yeah. was talking to my two male associates about this 2 days ago. Actually, they are hilarious. This young crowd of guys that came into my office with a conference program, and they were furious. Did you see this? I said, yeah, I think so. No, did you see this conference program? It's a big energy conference. I said, yeah, what's up? What's going on? 20 panel members on the program? 19 men, all over the age of, looks like 60.
Mm.
Do something about this. I said, oh, really? They said, you do something about this. So we had to go, and I knew the chair and said, oh, listen, my two male associates just said, and so there are definite issues around that. So we had gone out to lunch after this little event around conference gate, you know, and it's fixed. The chair is, you know, once you point out and once the awareness is there, there were issues addressed.
So you don't sit there and you actually do something about it.
You know, I might have been a bit blind to the issue had they not pointed it out so radically. And then once you look at it, yeah, when you're called upon, you gotta act.
You gotta step up.
And act. It's not always comfortable. People don't always view it as the most pleasant situation.
That's where the courage comes in.
Well, and humor, too. You might recall, I don't know if you were there, but the OEA did a Women in Energy lunch, and it was sold out, and it was great. And 2 days before this lunch, it was Annette Bershearn, myself, and Joanne Butler. Annette Bershearn, former CEO of Home Depot,
mm-hmm.
who now runs EnerStore, an energy mm-hmm. storage company. Joanne Butler, the EVP of the ISO, in charge of generation procurement. Really talented woman. I was like the flunky on the panel. They were.
I
really,
doubt that.
No, really, they are quite extraordinary. And 2 days before we do this panel, one of the MPPs is doing the committee review of a potential new member of the Ontario Energy Board. And she's very talented. She has an engineering degree. I think she has a graduate degree in energy. And the comment from this MPP was, yes, but can she make me a good cup of coffee?
Ooh.
So this went around, and I thought, you know what? We're going to do something about this. So we went out, we bought a coffee maker, and we wrote instructions on how to make a good cup of coffee.
I love it, Lisa!
And we had every woman, well, many of the women who attended that Women in Energy lunch sign our gift card to such and such MPP with the instructions on how to make a good cup of coffee. And, you know, instead of getting militant and
yes.
angry and feeling victimized, we had a little fun.
Mm-hmm.
We had a little fun.
And
with
I'm
it.
Sure the message was received.
I think so.
Yes.
And I think so. I don't think he's going to say anything like
no,
that again.
No, I would doubt it very much.
You know? And nobody was ultimately harmed. That person was confirmed. And
what's the hardest thing you've had to do, Lisa?
Oh, gosh. Lots of tough stuff. Personally, professionally. Which one?
Well, I'd love to hear both.
Oh, okay. Professionally, let me start. I think the last decision to leave a very secure partnership in a global firm while you were with me
mm-hmm.
in the car, and
mm-hmm.
It was really a tough, heart-wrenching mm-hmm. decision to make, and the uncertainty of being an entrepreneur in that moment where it's my job or it's my soul right now.
Yes.
That was really tough. That was a very, very tough decision to make, and, you know, in retrospect, it was just a decision.
No regrets?
No, none. I think we put so much pressure and, you know, the future of the world on these decisions, but you can always make another decision if they don't work out, right?
That's true. You can.
Yeah. So that was a good lesson. It was a really good lesson. Sometimes just jump, you know? Think about it, of course. Plan. But sometimes jump, and if it doesn't work, jump again, you know? So that was pretty interesting. And then personally, I would put my divorce right on up there. It was just, it was quite devastating with a special needs child at that time who was pretty sick and spent a lot of time in sick kids. And dealing with the concept of failure. It was not something that was familiar or close.
Lisa doesn't fail.
And, you know, in a good Catholic family, marriages don't fail. So, yeah. You know, it was really, it was rough. It was quite devastating. But
you had your
out.
Village around you.
I did. And it was, you know, in particular, my sisters and my closest friends, my running wife, you know, we pound more than 1,000 kilometers a year together.
Yeah.
They held me together with spit, duct tape, and paper towel rolls, you know. It was really, they really did. It was great.
What are you the most grateful for?
My family. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, bar none, without doubt. I would start with my kids. My kids have been the best educators, the foundation of my life. I adore them. And in particular, you know, working through illness at SickKids with my daughter was, she's taught me more than anyone else. And my son has just got a very, everybody loves him personality, you know, so they both taught me a lot. And then my broader family, my brothers and sisters, who in many ways were like my parents because of the age
mm-hmm.
gap. And then really solid parents who were honorable. They had this element of do the right thing and assist your community. You have a duty. To whom much is given, much is demanded. And that was really nailed into us on a regular basis in a very loving way.
And it's played out in the choices you've made. Is that a fair comment?
Yeah, I don't know. I hope so. I hope so. I certainly feel a responsibility that's bigger than for my own
yes.
future. We'll see. You know, I guess you'll have to judge that in retrospect.
Oh, I've seen enough already, Lisa, to know that.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
What advice would you have for young adults trying to figure it out, especially young female leaders?
You know, my passion has played such an important role in my life. So look at things like, what section of the newspaper do you go to first? What do you like to read? When do you get those moments? This is the test for me. We just argued this appeal and we came out of it. And you have this moment where you go, I can't believe I get paid to do this. I can't believe I get paid to have so much fun. Pinch me. You know, and you knew that at every moment, what's the big concept now? Oh, there's a word for it. Flow.
Yes.
You have flow.
Yeah.
There's something, and it's like there's an instrument going through you, and you're just part of the moment. Pay attention to those moments. Head towards them. Seek them out. And if something feels toxic and terrible, it is. Get out of it, you know, and move towards those moments where you go, I've got flow. I love that word. This is like the trendy
term.
It's
a good
now.
One.
My kids use it all the time.
You've got flow, Lisa?
I had flow. Today, maybe not so much, but a couple weeks ago, we were arguing a great First Nations case, and we had flow. We definitely both walked out of there, did the high five, and, you know, it was really fun. I think it comes from being, you know, in climate for 20 years where it felt like you were hitting your head against the wall, but still, there was minor process. But in terms of this specific space, we've had some great decisions coming out of the Supreme Court of Canada. We have a new dialogue going on in the country, and that's the one thing I'm really taking a lot of solace from. As long as we're talking. As long as we're airing and having those tough conversations, we're going to make progress. It's when we stop talking to each other, when we get to the level of polarization that we're now seeing in some parts of the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
that it's very problematic. We would have 133 rights holders across the country our First Nations, working with energy companies, working with governments, and working with local communities to have a, can I say kick ass on the, okay, to have a kick ass process where we consider what works, where can we find consensus, what process has justice being done for everyone and being seen to be done for everyone. I love the concept of the Venn diagrams where you have 4 or 5 or 10, or in my case, the more disparate interests, the better, but you find the spot of intersection. That sort of consensus building gets me so jazzed, it's not even funny. And so, yeah, that's, if we can get there, if we can actually not just get there for the country, but take that process out to the broader world, I think that would be a great Canadian contribution to international development.
Thank you, Lisa.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Lisa is the perfect combination of heart and mind. She is passionate about her work and also mindful of doing the right things right. I appreciated her transparency around some of the challenges that she has dealt with both on the professional and personal front. Lisa's accomplishments are the result of grit, determination, and having the courage to make tough decisions at key moments in her life. I think Lisa has flow. If you want to listen to more conversations like this one, look for Leaders Unplugged at iTunes, Google Play, or NicoleConsulting.com. I also want to thank our producer, Josie Guimont, and our editor, Graham Harris. Until next time, I'm Nicole Boivet.